Obedience. I don't like hearing that word. Every parent knows that there's a delicate balance between being tough yet tender in raising their child. How many of you are parents? All right. Some of you older ones didn't raise your hands because your kids were sitting next to you. I was a little worried. But you know the balance between tough yet tender when you raise your child, especially when a strong-willed child resists. Some of you are going like this. The pressure to give in for the sake of peace and harmony, it can just be overpowering. I'm thinking of a lady by the name of Bridget who in a store and her son invariably would always just pick up something and put it in the cart. Oh, Fruit Loops. In the cart it would go. Or, oh, hey, Fruit Roll-Up. In the cart it would go. At least it was all fruit, you know. And Mom kept saying, no, no, don't put things in the cart, no. Another thing went in the cart, no. Another thing went in the cart. And then finally Mom just finally shouted, all right, you just do whatever you want. Now let me see you disobey that. You know? See, that's the balance. Obedience. It's like Randy, who was sitting with his girlfriend. He was getting ready to propose. They were discussing the fragility of many marriages. And Randy posed the following question. He said, what if you were to wake up one morning and you just don't love me anymore? His girlfriend thought about it for a moment, and then she responded. She said, well, there's always obedience. You know. We're finding a cure for heart disease. And over these past 3 weeks, we've been walking through many different roads of finding that cure. And I invite you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6, as we look at the reward of an obedient heart this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. And I'm going to read this to you before we begin. Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. It's in the Old Testament. You know, if you flip too far, you're in the New. You know, pretty well. That's Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. I like that. It's a great passage of Scripture. The reward of an obedient heart is, first of all, peace. Peace. You see, being obedient, it just makes everything else so much easier. I mean, no matter the situation, no matter the circumstance, it makes it easier. Understand, I'm only speaking with the understanding of positive obedience. I mean, there are abusive situations where obedience is demanded. That's not healthy obedience. But in this passage it says, the Lord your God will circumcise your hearts. See, I don't think we realize how easy it is in our society today to just say that we love God but yet not have him first in our life. The first commandment says, you shall have no other gods before me. Now that means nothing else. No person, no job, no possession, no ministry. Nothing should take first place in our life except God. And some of you know from our series on peace that we did a while ago, when God is first in every aspect of your life, then you have desired peace. You see, God demands that first place in your life, not because he's a God who just says, you have to do this. He does it because for your own good. He won't be satisfied with anything less than first place because he knows that that's what you need in order to be happy and have peace in your life. You can't just take Jesus and add him onto your mess that you got already. Matthew 6:33 is an awesome scripture. I love it. It's one of my favorites. If you took this one in Scripture, and it could just change your whole life if you memorized it. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. I mean, boy, we look for things. We search for things. We try and find things. All of the things that you require, if you seek God first and His righteousness, will be added to you. That sound good right now? See, you don't even have to go shopping. You just come to church. You find out where you can find all the things you need. If we give God what is rightfully His, which is first place in our life, everything else will fall in place. It's amazing. If you give God your time, He can save you time the rest of your day. You know that? You ever try it? Just try it one time. Just in the morning, get up and say, God, I'm giving you my time today. See where it goes. If you give God your bank account first, He looks after your needs. He just, man, groceries on the doorstep. Whatever you need, He looks after it. If you give God your perfectionism, which we were talking about, I was talking with somebody this morning, He gives you excellence. When you give God your control, He gives you power. When you give God your worry, He gives you peace. Don't you want peace? Don't you want all those things? God can give it to you. All those things will be added unto you. The Amplified Bible, I like the way it puts this verse. It says, and the Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your mind and heart and with all your being that you may live. It starts out, the Lord will circumcise your heart. To circumcise, I'm trying to figure out how to define this one. Okay. What is it? Debride. Ooh, that just hurts saying it. To circumcise means to cut. Ooh, and I was going to get graphic, and I thought, no way. What we need is to live with circumcised hearts. That means that everything else just needs to be cut away. Anything that would take God's place means it needs to be cut away. And God, He loves you so much. He wants the best for your life so much that He will help us get to this place where we receive such peace in living by helping us get rid of, cut away those things that we don't need. That's so wonderful of God. I mean, you think about it this way as a parent. There are some things your children just want, and there are some things that you can do to just grant that desire. But there are those times when you just go, oh, my. Ooh. You got to fall down those stairs to find out you can't crawl on them, you know? When I was a child, there were rumors that I was an active one. I mean, my brother was in a state of panic most of the time, wondering what I would do next. Well, one day I learned that my parents may just know what they're talking about. I mean, my dad instructed me. He said, he caught me close to this backyard fence. There was a shed here, and there was a fence that went along like this, and then there was another fence that went kind of around the shed. And my dad caught, he said, you know, Devin, you better stay away from that fence. You better not be climbing that fence. I know you like to climb. There are lots of areas for you to play around. They had a pie-shaped lot. It was huge. He said, you can go anywhere you want, but you cannot climb on that fence by the shed. You see, behind that fence, there was every kind of piece of my dad's joy behind that fence. Old paint cans. Chunks of wood left over from projects, some he found on the road somewhere. Various carpet pieces, numerous bike tires, a lot of them flat. Even an old wash tub with a large hole in the bottom. You know, those are my dad's treasures. He just collected things. I don't know where, you know, and some of you spouses are going, listen to this. Dad left for work one day, and my brother and I, we decided play in the backyard. My brother came up with the brilliant plan of let's play hide and seek. I knew that there was one place my brother would never look for me. One place. Do you know where that place was? Right behind the fence. In Dad's treasure chest. See? I climbed that fence, and as I reached the pinnacle of the top, my brother's still counting. One. You know, I was brilliant. He was 6 years older than me. Hello. I climbed, I got to the top, the pinnacle, and I was enjoying the view. And I thought, okay, I was planning my next jump. Okay, should I plant by the wood pile, hide in there, or should I go over to the carpet pieces? It's a tough choice. But I soon discovered another treasure of my dad's. Wasp nests. Two of them. And boy, were they glad to see me. They enjoyed my wrist. I mean, it was just... I remember my wrist being engulfed with wasps, and it wasn't long before my brother found me. He just followed the excruciating scream. And my mother, who was not happy that her soap opera Edge of Night watching was interrupted by the set of my lungs. Some of you watch that show, I could tell. She flung open the house window and she called. She said, "Darcy," to my brother, "you better rescue your brother again." So I was always doing something, like climbing on the house, trying to land on the cement, you know, do things like that. I thought Dad could have really, you know, instead of having the protection he had, he could have just put an electric fence in. It would have been much safer. Well, the last thing I recall is my dad's speedy car coming down the road, you know, with an antihistamine that was prescribed quickly by the doctor. And he thanked me that day, my dad did, for getting him out of work early. And he treated me to ice cream before I was sent to my room while he and my mom prepared the consequence to my disobedience. But you see, if only I had listened to my dad, I could have saved so much pain in my life. I wouldn't have a good story to tell, but I could have enjoyed that day so much better if I'd listened to what he had said. Aristotle said, "Wicked men obey from fear, good men from love." We don't obey God because we fear God. We obey God because we love Him. Love God, says in the Amplified, love God with your mind. What does it mean to love God with your mind? It means to have God on your mind. It means to have the Word of God on your mind. Meditate on the Word of God or the Bible. It means to think about the great things God has done. It doesn't mean you can't think about anything else, but isn't it true that what's important to us, we think about all the time? What's important to us, we think about, and then it comes into our heart, and pretty soon it comes out of our mouth. If you talk about money all the time, that means it's important to you. If you talk about possessions all the time, that's important to you. What you talk about all the time is what's important to you. What's in our heart comes out of our mouth. You can see where a person's at just by listening to them real quick. The Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants. You see, knowing God has made all the difference in my life, as it probably has in yours, and I want the same for my children. I'm reminded of a great time where this pastor's son was playing with his little buddies in the backyard, and the pastor overheard them talking, and the conversation was amusing, and it's kind of like one of those my dad can whip your dad routines, you know. And one boy proudly said, you know, "My dad knows the mayor of our town." Yeah. Another said, "Well, that's nothing. My dad knows the treasurer of the town council." Yeah. And then a familiar voice, little pastor's son, said, "Well, that's nothing. My dad knows God." End of conversation. Great illustration. We give our legacy to our children. And there's no greater legacy than believing God, trusting God, obeying God. You give your children peace when they see your peace by your obedience to God. The Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your mind, all your heart, and all your being. And then these last four words, they're so important. Why does God do this? That you may live. That you may live. Now that's not just talking about breathing. That speaks about having the life that God wants you to have. The abundant, prosperous, powerful, creative, joyful, peaceful life. But you're not going to have that kind of life if you don't have a heart that is circumcised. If you don't keep God first, then you're not going to have the kind of life that God wants you to have. Well, the reward of an obedient heart is peace. But secondly, it's prosperity, the living. I mean, have you ever wanted to live? I mean, really live. You know, I would just love, my brother, he turned 50 and he skydived out of a plane. You know, I just want to stand on the top of a ladder, you know? That's living for me. God promises that you will live, really live. I mean, I love what the Message Bible says. God, your God, will cut away the thick calluses on your heart and your children's hearts, freeing you to love God, your God, with your whole heart, his soul, and live, really live. I enjoy that. You see, without God, there is no way you can live. God can do anything for you, and he will do anything for you as one of his children, but what he does for you is he gives you the opportunity to live. Now, I'm not going to get into the whole prosperity gospel thing. But there's one thing I want to point out. Don't you think that God can outgive the world when it comes to giving? Can he? Well, I know he can. Do you think that God wants his children to be blessed or just the sinners? Does God want his children to be blessed? He wants you to be blessed. He wants me to be. He doesn't want poor me. I have nothing. Or even, this is the other thing we do, which is really, we're really good at this one. Well, I don't know why that Christian got that. I mean, isn't that expensive? You don't know how they got it. You don't know why they got it. You don't even know, you don't need to know why. God wants us to be people who live prosperous lives. And I tell you, God will provide for you. He looks after his children. But we need to trust him to look after us. Joan and I remember when we got married. I remember it was the most special day of my entire life, gentlemen. Best decision I ever made next to accepting Christ was marrying my wife, Joan. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I love you, dear. We had the most beautiful car. It was a 1962 Chevy Impala. At least to me, it was beautiful. It would flap in the wind, the back fenders, I mean, because the rust. But it was a beautiful car. It's wonderful to look at. I mean, but run, that's a different story. Let's just say you filled up the oil every time you filled up the gas. In fact, they got used to, I could pull up and they'd say, do you want gas? No, just check the oil. Things always seemed to go wrong with that car. And we were driving the highway with that vehicle and it started to rain. And I turned those wipers on. Nothing. And it rained and it rained and it rained. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And Joe was praying. You know, and stopping, trying to get it off. And sometimes, you know, I figured if I drive a little faster, it'll just kind of whip the rain off, you know. That didn't work. But I had those wipers on and I was nothing. They were just, you know, 10 minutes on the highway till we got back to our place, which was at the Bible College, and pulled in a parking spot and where we live and got there. And all of a sudden, poof, the wipers came on. So we just learned, actually, we figured it out, that if it looked like rain, we just turned the wipers on. And then by the time the rain started, on would come the wiper. We had to time it right. It's a beautiful car. I love the thing. Well, we prayed for a different car. We went to Bible study prayer meeting. We asked all our friends to pray. Can you pray for a new car? We really need a different car. I mean, our car's falling apart. And everyone, oh yeah, we know it's over a while. You know, that kind of thing. One day we drove to Regina to visit our parents, spend some time with them. And we went to a car dealer symposium. Murray, you know, car dealer symposium. It's a fancy name, really, to sell cars. That's what it is, really. But we went, both sets of parents came with us, and Joan and I, and we saw a beautiful car, the Dodge Aries. It was beautiful. And it wasn't new, but I mean, basically, you know, anything after 1962 to us was considered new. And so our parents, they bought us that car that day. We paid them back over time, but they bought it for us. We drove that car. It was great, driving that. You know, the wipers worked, which I wasn't used to. So I turned them on, but it looked like rain. Oh, wipers worked. Back fenders, no noise. You know, they were. We were thrilled driving home with that thing. Drove into our parking spot, Bible College. Crowd gathered of our friends. I remember saying as we were driving, look, John, everyone's excited. They're all here to greet us. Surprised they don't have flags, you know. I mean, they've been praying for this. First words out of the mouth, boy, are you guys big spenders? How come you got a new car? Why do you get all the breaks? I mean, we hadn't even said a word. We just got out of the car. And then one guy, he turned to me, he says, how did you pay for this? I said, cash. We went in the apartment. That was it. That was the end of the conversation. We were so judged that day. We were so judged that day because God answered a prayer. You see, there's nothing pretty about being obedient because God will bless you in many ways. Now, I just happen to pick on material things, but God will cause prosperity to shine upon you in so many ways. Deuteronomy chapter 8, God said to the Israelites, he said, I have led you all this way, these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble you, to prove you, to see if you would keep my word or not, and I've done it so that I may be able to bring you into a good land flowing with milk and honey. But beware when I bring you into this good land, and you have built your nice houses, and you have more than enough, beware lest you forget me. We can't forget about God when things are going good. You see, when something happens, we're so quick to just give up. We just can't take the pressure. We can't take the heat. We can't see a way out. We say, God, I need something new. And we forget about God. Look at this Pickles cartoon. You're supposed to take off that little plastic thing in the middle of your sunglasses after you buy them. I know, but I couldn't get it off. Well, let me do it for you. You should probably leave it on. There could be a federal law requiring it. You know. Get this today. God wants us to have everything that is waiting in the promised land. But he first has to see how we behave in the wilderness. Because if we're only going to serve God and worship him and praise him during the good times, then we do not have any spiritual strength and maturity at all. Listen, if you only praise God and enjoy him during those great moments, then we only serve God for what he gives to us, not for who he is. God wants us to worship him because of who he is. You see, I didn't know God brought things into my life so that I would not depend on myself so much. I didn't know that certain circumstances were making me lean on God more. I mean, I didn't know that. How often do we say, well, I guess there's nothing else I can do but pray. What's that? That should be the first thing we do. Yeah, we try everything else until we, well, I guess there's nothing more. It's kind of like it's a last-ditch effort, so I guess I'll just pray. It's like I can't do anything, and now I'll see what God can do. And then there's this one. Well, it seems like nothing more that I can do but just trust God. You see, that's how we, that's being called full of ourselves. I'll take care of this. Things happen to us to keep us from trusting and depending on ourselves instead of trusting in God who raises the dead. Who's going to endure being obedient to God today? Who's going to make a decision, even when the pressure's on, just to stay put? Sometimes our flesh gets tired of things a long time before God's finished with them. We just want to move on to something else that's more beautiful and exciting. Praise God. I need him. You see, when we're getting dealt with where we're at, we always tend to think we need something new to just get us sparked again. But what do you do when God puts you somewhere where you just don't want to be? That's the wilderness. See, I want to be a man after God's own heart. That's my prayer. That's my prayer every day. God, I just want to be a man after your own heart. And I don't say that with pride. I say that because I am not that. I want to be that. We started our series by talking about King David, a man after God's own heart. I want that. I want to have a tender heart, not a hard heart. I want to be pliable. I want to be moldable in the hands of God. I don't want God to have to argue with me for 3 weeks to get me to do some little thing. I just want to be obedient to him so that I enjoy the peace and the prosperity that he alone gives. That's the reward of an obedient heart. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And as you bow your heads and close your eyes, I'm going to ask you some questions here. And these questions are for you. They're not for your neighbor, and they're not for your spouse. They're not for you to be thinking about them. It's personally to you who are youth, you who are children. You need to listen today to what God is saying. You moms, you dads, singles, adults, seniors, and ask you. I'm going to ask you first of all, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Can I ask a difficult question? Because more than likely we say yes, and God blesses you for that. But he also blesses you enough to walk you through a time of wilderness where maybe you look for something new and something exciting or something different. Or maybe you just want it your way, and you want it your way right now. Right away. But God has you in the wilderness for a reason. To shape you, to mold you, to create in you, even better, who you really are, and that is one of his children, so that you can have his peace, and so you can have his prosperity. And it might be prosperous, not just material things. It might be prosperous relationship-wise. It might be prosperous just in who you are, your everyday living, with peace and joy. God wants you to have that. But sometimes we have to walk that journey of obedience, as hard as it is. We need to just stay put, allow God to deal with us right where we are, instead of having to fix it all the time. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm going to ask you if you're saying, God, I want to trust you walking through this wilderness right now. I just trust you, God. More than anything else, I trust you. Lord, I don't like it, but now I know what you're doing. You're just pruning me for the promised land. If you're willing to say that to God today, God, I'll just trust you through the wilderness right now. Just lift your hand. Just lift it up. Lord, bless you. 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 God sees all those hands. God sees those hands going up. Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. This morning, maybe you're sitting here and you've heard about how much God loves you. He loves you so much. He's not going to let go of you. But maybe you haven't really taken that step to love him more. Or maybe you haven't even taken that step to say, God, I love you. I want you in my life. I want to deal with all that stuff I've done that hasn't pleased you, God. Maybe you need to give that to him today. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed and you're talking to him, maybe you just want to say, God, I give you that stuff today. And you just do that. It's between you and God. I give you all that stuff that hasn't pleased you. I just want to be an obedient heart, Lord, towards you. I want to put you first in my life. Lord God, this morning, we've heard how we need to love you with our mind, the heart, our soul. And God, we love you that much. And I know this church, Lord, I know that the people in this church love you. Lord, may we continue to love you, even in the times of wilderness. We'd love to fix it, God, but we can't. We can't do it. Apart from you, we can do nothing. So, God, we trust in you today to get whatever needs to be done in our life. We trust you so that you would receive the glory, not us. We pray your peace, your prosperity in us as your people, God. We thank you that we can be obedient to you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.